Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Because I know clocks are inherently sexy, sure.
That is the biggest case of victim blaming I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Maybe Boris didn't know it was his birthday party. Like, you know,
it's like how I'm the least crazy one on my mum's side of the family.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. It is me, Katie, aka Detective Sasshole. This is my first show back after beating COVID.
Yay!
Hero. With the Zoom one, obviously I could have done this the whole time, but we had to do live shows. So it is my great pleasure to announce our guest for this episode. It is the fantastic comedian, writer and actress, Maisie Adams!
Hello!
Maisie, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've already got my ratio of gin and tonic completely wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's...
Like good wrong or bad wrong?
Oh, good wrong. Good wrong.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
It's 50-50, I think.
Oh, lovely. That's the best kind.
Yeah. We'll see.
There's a new like advert for like posh tonic that says, it's like because 2/3 of your drink is the mixer. That's their thing. And I'm like, it's fucking not. Not in my house.
No.
I did a charity gig the other night and they gave me some fancy gin. So whatever happens tonight, even if it goes badly, it was all for charity ultimately.
So. Yes. You get getting, to hold getting, your head high.
Getting drunk off charity gin, I feel like that makes it okay.
Definitely. Definitely.
Right? That's how it works.
You've got the moral high ground. No one can touch you.
Exactly.
Now we've established that.
On that note, Maisie Adam, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I think perhaps one of the worst crimes imaginable, which is when I was at school, somebody stole my BlackBerry.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. We've never had some of those.
Okay, my first feeling about this is you had a BlackBerry at school. You must be so young.
Spoiler alert, I'm still at school. So this would have been, I was in year 10, so wow. That would have been like 2010 or 2009.
Wow. I'm still in my mind.
That's offensive.
No, that's amazing and brilliant. Oh my God.
I'm also thinking that it's kind of like a kind of Famous Five thing, and you just had a single BlackBerry you took to school and somebody stole that. And actually, it's all very kind of, if you grew up in the countryside, it's lovely.
Oh, wow. No, I was so excited as well because I'd always had like a sort of hand-me-down phone. Like I had my first phone was my mum's old Nokia 3310, right. the one that you could throw at a wall and it'd be indestructible.
And how old were you then?
Oh, I think 14 because I had to wait. I was 14 to get my ears pierced and get a mobile phone.
Nice.
Yeah.
But at least you can make the appointment yourself.
Big and then text everyone about it.
Day. Yeah, exactly.
Everyone look at my ears.
Yeah, and take really pixelated photos. in fact, no, I don't think my Nokia could take photos, but I could play Snake.
Oh man, I love Snake.
So when like the BlackBerry came along, I thought I was like Jeff Bezos. I thought I was so tech savvy. And then I don't know if you remember, but they used to have the instant messaging thing on that was called BlackBerry Messenger, BBM.
Oh, they were so cool.
So I'd been talking to this boy I really fancied on BBM, and then somebody stole my BlackBerry.
Oh no.
And the reason I was able to know that it was stolen rather than I'd lost it was the picture on my BBM changed from my face to a boy's face. And it was the person who had stolen my BlackBerry.
Wow.
I knew people who knew him. He went to a different school and he'd stolen my BlackBerry. What was worse is I knew that some people knew who he was, but crucially, the boy I had been talking to didn't know. And I think thought that maybe I had been catfishing him. I don't know, because suddenly...
Oh, wow. The layers to this.
You've been Jeremy all this time?
I know. So then I had to message this boy on text, which felt like, as a year 10, that felt like writing a letter. I texted him being like, oh, hi, this is really awkward, but like somebody stole my BlackBerry and now there's a picture of a guy on, don't worry, I'm not catfishing you, LOL. And I think we can all agree that nothing sounds more like you're being catfished than getting a message that says, I'm not catfishing you. And then he stopped replying because I think he thought I was the boy that went to the other school. But I promise I was me. I don't know if he's listening to this episode.
No.
Don't know if he's now a drunk women solving crime enthusiast, but if he's still out there.
We'll get the word out.
Because please do.
You were just trying to get ahead of the story.
Honestly, it was devastating.
I love that other guy wasted no time getting his profile pic up there like mine now.
I know, it's like the balls on a thief to steal something and then be like, and I'll put my face to it so you know it was me.
Did you ever get like, did that lead to any kind of arrest kind of procedure? Like what happened?
So I told my parents like, oh, somebody stole my BlackBerry, but
and
I know
this
who
is
it
him.
Is. And it's this person. And my dad was like, well, this is absolutely atrocious, and marched to the police station, was like, this young gentleman has stolen my daughter's phone. And really, really unusually, like, I cannot believe this, but like the police didn't do anything. Like
what?
I know, like, it was so
shocking.
Did
they know you were texting a boy?
I know.
But they're not taking the gravity of the situation.
First time we've ever heard this.
Weirdly, I wasn't in a rush to explain to my dad that the reason we needed to solve this crime was so I could continue to flirt in an awkward way with a boy. And I never got it back. I got demoted again to... either my mum or dad's old phone, which didn't have BBM.
But at least back to Snake, but it's not the same. Was there no way, like, were you ever tempted to kind of form a vigilante gang and go and get it back off this kid?
So my friend Faye, she's very, very PI, right? She can solve anything. She's private investigator Faye. She was like, we can take his picture,
put it into Facebook, which was like the only social media. But like, we can find his picture and match it to Facebook. And I was like, Faye, I don't think you have the IT skills to do that. I think you've watched a documentary and you've seen that can happen.
Yeah.
But she was convinced. So she could still see it on her BlackBerry that this guy was. I mean, he wasn't even posing as me. He was like his face and then James. So he wasn't even masquerading as me. But Faye did manage to find him on Facebook. So I was messaging him and I found my old messages and I actually put, please, can I have my phone back? Even when I was the victim, I was polite. I was going, hey.
Oh, you really were.
Hey, we've not met. We go to different schools, but you've stolen my phone. Please, if it's not too inconvenient,
you may
could
remember
you,
me
like,
from such things
around?
As my phone.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I know.
Did he any response at all?
No. He blocked me. Oh, I think, man. Because he thought I was catfishing him.
The cheek. Everyone was so terrified of catfishing. No one took theft
seriously.
I really
thought it would be a real thing. Like, honestly. You know when like Facebook really started to lift off and everybody would just add anybody, even if you had mutual friends?
Yeah.
Honestly, MTV made me think, oh, this person's after my money, even though my money at that point was £9.
Did you feel like a kind of sense of justice when, I think it was like last year, BlackBerry ceased to trade or something, like BlackBerry doesn't exist anymore?
I know.
Were you just like, fuck you, James?
I knew it was bad when I took my old BlackBerries to, like, you know, when you can get money for your old phone. And I was like, I have these BlackBerries. And he was like, for the three of them, it's £8.
Wow.
Oh, they're probably going to stop trading soon.
They really weren't great, but there's something about them that I'm so nostalgic for them. I remember I don't know what the model was called, but when it had the keypad on it, which was tiny, but at the time it was like, oh my god, I can type things because I got a miniature keyboard. And then I remember on the iPhone, I'm like, where are the keys? My thumbs can never just go on a screen and type. And now I realize how silly that little
keyboard. You have to remember as well, our phones before that, to text, to put like the letter,
you had to type three times.
You had to press 7 three times.
Yes.
So suddenly to have like a keyboard, I felt like such a businesswoman and I was only like 15. I was walking around like hashtag women in tech.
Yeah. It is a little bit businesswoman, to be fair. The BlackBerry.
Yeah. Oh, I never had a BlackBerry. I was just looking through my drawer here because I've kept all my old phones. I've got this one. This is the really old iPhone. Do you remember that one?
Oh my god!
Back in the day with a curved back.
Build a brick wall with that.
Oh, yeah.
Smashed it.
The iPhone chunk.
Like, this is why you should join Patreon, guys, because they just got to see Hannah's phones.
Also, we
want to see old shitty phones. Join us.
They got to see them live.
We should say that this episode we are recording and our patrons are watching.
Oh,
they're
yes.
watching
they're
live.
Watching.
Yes, which is...
And they're better for it because they've seen phones of the past.
If you stick around later, I'll go through some more of my old shit with you. So,
yes, join us later in the show where we'll be holding up an iPod Touch to the screen.
Sorry for derailing the entire podcast.
No. Do you know what? It's great. And I've got one more question for Maisie Adam in this section of the podcast.
Okay.
If you had the perp, this little shit of a thief, now he's in custody. You can do anything, say anything you want to him. He either can or cannot see you. It's up to you.
Oh.
What would you say to him?
Okay, I'd definitely go for he can't see me. And I would catfish him.
Ooh.
I mean, he didn't even catfish me, but I'm obsessed now with catfishing. I would catfish him and maybe be like, oh, do you know why you're here? It's because you've helped us solve this amazing this amazing crime. And really lead him into a false sense of security that maybe he's going to get some amazing reward for something that happened to
you.
Like, you won't even remember this, but you found this BlackBerry and it led to a few convictions. So we're just here to reward you. And then, bam, you change that mirror that then makes me visible. I go, ha! It's me. And then I put a real snake in the room with him. And he's playing live action snake now, but the snake is coming for him.
Yes.
Is this quite sadistic? This is quite sadistic,
God.
Isn't it?
Do you know
I love this because I love the people that are really empathic, but we get a whole lot of like, you know, I've really moved on now. And I think I would just say, I feel really bad for you because you must have been in a really hard place. And like, I want more steak.
He wasn't in a hard place. He had a phone. He just wanted another phone.
Yeah, and this is the thing. When it's
it was
like
at
peers,
the cost of me and a boy who had, you know, got as far as putting two kisses at the end of our text. So it was, things were progressing.
God,
who's to say what could have been?
Yes. Oh my God, I love it. I love this. This is what the police should start doing. Possible plot line for the next Squid Games.
Also, like back in the day, you'd like each text could only be like 120 letters or something, couldn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
It was worse than Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, like, you try and get everything done really quickly.
That's why they ended up with all the numbers in the words. I'm still old enough that it's like, what? Great's got an 8 in it now. What?
Oh, my God, yeah. Somebody used WUBU2 to me the other day in a message, and it made me feel physically sick.
Wait. Okay, so just for the people that don't know, because obviously I do, just translate that for them.
WUBU2 is what you been up to. And somebody said that to me on a message the other day, and I felt nauseous.
I suggest they're not adequately interested enough if they can't be funked to write it out. Like, they don't care what you've been up to.
Oh. And like, it's not quicker if the other person has to Google what it means. Anyway, that's
just send me after anybody that does that, because I will go on and on. Like, no, I don't understand. What?
Yeah. Using all of your credit, going, sorry, can you explain your previous text?
Yeah. Oh, live action snake. That was one of my favorite answers to that ever. It's like you've thought through this.
I said it, and the moment it came out my mouth, I thought, that's the 50-50 gin and tonic speaking.
No, that is perfect. I'm christening you Detective Snake.
Oh, wow, that sounds like she's done something really wrong to all of us.
That sounds like a porn star name.
It doesn't sound so good, does it? I was like, because it's like so, but it's
Detective
like,
Snake is definitely the stripper that's going to be at my cousin's hen do. DCI Catfish.
Oh,
DCI
nice.
Catfish.
I like that.
I'm going to write that down.
DCI Catfish. Thank you very much.
Okay. Right.
Katie's writing it down. It's real.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
You are an asset to the force. We are now going to go to the section of the podcast where we are going to be discussing a historical true crime. The crime that we are going to be discussing involves drama, intrigue, New Jersey and labor laws.
Oh, my favorite.
So strap in.
Yeah, down that gin and tonic now.
And then
I thought you were going to say nudity, and then it turned into New Jersey. And like, I've never had such a roller coaster of emotion. I don't even know which way it goes, but it was extreme.
It's extreme. Now, so we're going to be learning a little bit about the history of our rights, because it can't all be glamour. Some of it's going to be dark. I apologize now, but also this is true crime. So.
The history of our rights. Is that what you said?
Yes. We'll get to that.
You have to fight for them, is what I know.
Oh, yes. Hold that thought. Okay. So now a lot of this case takes place around the 1920s, but it concerns something that was invented/discovered 20 years earlier in 1898. So question, does anybody know what the discovery/invention from 1898 might be?
Was it the first ever BlackBerry?
It was just a rock.
And I can give you a clue. The clue that I see I've written here is just going to completely give it away. So have a little guess before I give you this.
Yeah, okay. Wait, so something involving rights happened 20 years after the invention of, or the discovery or invention, which one?
There's nothing really connecting these two things yet, to be fair.
Oh, that's incredibly helpful. Yeah. 1898. Well, I don't...
Human female legs, were they discovered for the very first time? Look what they got under these skirts.
Lady pens that we can use to vote with our little dainty hands.
I mean, these are great answers. Anything.
Oh, A typewriter that is electric. I don't know. I'm okay. Terrible at timings.
No, that's great. That's great. All right, I'm going to give you the clue. The person that is the discovered
Hannah
it.
Hannah didn't even get in there. Oh, she's like, fuck HG, Hannah. I'm joking. No, I'm joking. No, keep
get
it.
Get in there, HG. No, no. Fine. If anything, I was staying incredibly quiet just because I didn't have anything. And I was thinking, I'll wait for the clue.
Like, I hear there's a clue coming. All right, no, I'm only joking.
I'm going to tell it, but you're all going to get it straight away. The clue is it was discovered by Marie Curie.
Radium.
Yeah. Oh, good old healthy
and human
radium.
Female legs.
Yeah. I mean, these
just
two
gonna
things,
keep saying
they're
that
they're gonna interact. Now, radium is an exciting discovery. It gets used as a cancer treatment. There is a craze for using this element in health and beauty products, and all that went very well. Everyone was fine. Now, fun fact: radium does give an illusion of good health because it does stimulate red blood cells. Morbid fact, for balance, got to be balanced, guys. We've got to give everybody a platform to spew hatred because apparently that is balanced. So the morbid fact is, long term, you're poisoning yourself.
Oh, but potato, potato.
Yeah, right.
But you can say that for everything, right? Like if you eat too many apples, you poison yourself in the end. I mean, I know radium happens a bit faster.
I don't think it's at the same rate.
It's like, you know, people said Brexit was bad, and now look, it's fine. Did Nigel Farage lie, or was we all just enjoying his balanced view? Because we have to listen to Nazis, because that makes it balanced. Anyway, so the point is, it looks like it could be good. Not actually good. We are going to be talking.
I feel this way about Burt's Bees lip balm. I'm just going to throw that in. And this is like an anti-plug because it's the most expensive lip balm. So I'm like, I'm going to spring for this because it's got the fancy packaging and like it's bees. Have you ever used this? It burns your lips off and then you keep using it because it's making your lips more chapped and it's just this vicious middle class cycle. So I'm just saying I can already relate to this
case wherever it's going.
Okay, just say someone in the chat really agrees with you. I've just seen just out of the corner of my eye loads of exclamation marks. I have not found that with Burt's Bees, but you are allergic to kombucha, so maybe you've got sensitive lips.
Yeah, I gotta stop putting stuff in my mouth.
That is the biggest case of victim blaming I've ever seen. Maybe it's your lips, Taylor.
I'm so sorry.
How about you stop blaming what you're rubbing on them, and how about you have a look in the mirror?
What were your lips wearing?
Yeah.
I'm really trying not to read the chat to get distracted, but this is too good because Lauren wrote kombucha and it's just so niche.
It's just so delightfully niche. Thank you.
Okay. Do you know what? I'm going to move us along, but I think we should circle back to that Burt's piece because I think that's...
Because whatever is about to happen, I feel the same pain with my lip balm. That's what I'm saying.
It's the same magnitude.
And I have rights.
Okay, so we are going to be talking about radium being used in a factory setting, specifically by the Radium Girls, whose job it was to paint the dials of clocks with radium. Now, dial painting gets described as, in quotes, the elite job for the poor working girls, which is a great sentence because it's kind of contradictory. It's kind of like how I'm
the elite job for the
poor working girls. It's like how I'm the least crazy one on my mum's side of the family. Still not a high position to be in. It's basically a really well-paid job for people on a lower average.
It was well-paid, was it?
Well, yeah.
Relatively,
Factory work, it was. Right. So, like, it paid more than three times the average factory job.
Right.
And it was people wanted the job. It was quite coveted. So people, like, people were going for the job. If you got this job, you were lucky. Like, there was lots of competition for it. So,
So I immediately wondered, did they know how dangerous it was by that point? Why were they paying so much?
Was it not suspicious as well that it was paying so
well? Why is it being paid so well?
Yeah.
These are all fantastic questions, and we will get to that.
Because I know clocks are inherently sexy, sure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to paint a clock?
I mean,
what clocks are we talking as well? Are they
tiny watches? Some of them are really tiny because we'll get to this in a minute too.
In my head, Katie. In my head, she was on a big ladder doing the hands of Big Ben. And I was like, right. I can see why that would pay handsomely.
Yeah, right. That is dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, radium is the least of your worries when you're painting Big Ben in 1898.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, yeah. Although, no, this is the 1920s. But
every hour as well, you'd have to just fucking hold on.
yeah. It's like, I'm just picturing Doc Brown in Back to the Future for some reason.
I know, totally. Click. Oh, it's such a satisfying click. Anyway.
So we're in New Jersey, but there's other factories in the rest of America, but we're starting in New Jersey. This position ranked in the top 5% of female workers nationally. And there's this kind of burgeoning female freedom in the 1920s. So these women had this kind of sense of empowerment and financial freedom. And a lot of them were teenagers, because the people that ended up getting these jobs had to have small hands for this tiny, tiny painting.
I told you our dainty little lady hands would come in handy.
And you were correct.
I was going to ask why it was women.
DCI Catfish knows her dainty hands. Go on, you were going to ask why it's women, because women are smaller.
Yeah, so that's why it is. It's just because the thing is, as like quite a tall woman, I have huge hands, so I wouldn't have got that job.
You wouldn't have got this job.
No.
And I'm not a small woman, but I do have tiny hands, and I feel like a T-Rex.
We can handle this in the lock-in.
Do you think we'd have got a job then? When we, like, who's got nice... Yeah.
I mean, I've got long fingers.
Oh, I've got absolute sausage fingers compared to you three.
I was going to say,
not describe anyone's fingers as sausages. See, this is some visual content that the patrons are getting, that the audience
is getting. Give the people what they want.
We're all holding up our hands, and it's very exciting. And
what's
you're
bigger,
out.
Your hands or the iPod Classic?
Also, it turns out your hands are bigger, like, the closer you hold them to your computer.
Yeah,
so I was like, my hands look tiny. I've just said how big my hands
are.
It's
like a whole perspective thing going on.
Wait a minute.
Okay, now, these radium factory worker girls were also known as the Ghost Girls. Question, why did they get referred to as the Ghost Girls?
Oh, boy.
Oh, is it because you were dead soon?
Great guess. It is not correct.
I was going to say, because that would be a harsh nickname, preceding your death.
I mean, actually, that would be a more apt nickname. I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, we all know what radium does, so...
Is it because they did a lame all-female reboot of the Ghost Boys?
And then everyone's childhood was raped and it was... it is not that. That's a fantastic answer too. Hannah George.
Is it? But like, I'm trying to think why they used radium. And was it to make it glow in the dark or something?
Yes.
Am I going, okay, so it's to make the numbers glow in the dark.
The dial, the hand
glow in the dark so you could see at night time. Right. So I wonder whether, did they glow in the dark because of
ding,
the fact
ding,
that...
Ding, ding,
ding! Shut yes, up. They glowed in the dark.
They literally glowed like Mr. Burns in the episode of The Simpsons.
Wow.
And, like, there's more, let me tell you.
I mean, kind of worth the death, right? Like, that's cool. You can live a real long life and never glow. That's all I'm saying. Only the good glow young.
Yeah, burn brightly, glow brightly. Yeah. So basically in these factories, there was radium dust everywhere. It was very thick in the factory. So that there was this ethereal kind of thing. But also, because this luminosity was part of its allure, so the dial painters loved that they could glow in the dark. And apparently some of them made the most of this perk. They would wear their best dresses to go to work in the factory so that they could then wear their best dress out in the, you know, in the dance halls and clubs and stuff. And then they would love glowing in these nightclubs and get like loads of attention and, you know, they'd shine at nighttime.
It's so sad, isn't it? It's like... I don't know, it's like when you used to enjoy Lawrence Fox and Inspector Morse and you'd be like, oh, he's all right. And then you realise what a fucking awful thing it is. And you're kind of like, oh, God, this has gone like, God, it's so horrible. But with all that stuff, even things like asbestos and stuff that was just like...
That you trusted.
Yeah, like, you thought somebody was...
They wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to let people die.
But when your employees are coming into work in a ball gown, hoping that they will get... lots of glow-in-the-dark material on it. At that point, do you maybe not go, we should probably come clean now and tell?
Yeah, is there a safety issue? Is this something that
Phyllis
we need to
is mean? Wearing her elbow gloves to work. We should probably come clean.
100%, right?
Oh, yeah. Also, when these girls died and people were giving eulogies at their funerals and going, oh, when she walked into a room, it just lit up. That's so awkward now. I'm not going to be able to take these things as compliments now. When people go, oh, you've had such a glow up, I'll be like, that's against rights.
yeah. That's another thing for the list of things we cannot say.
Yeah.
No, totally.
One of the loveliest compliments to get, I think, is when people go, oh, you've got such a healthy glow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody's going to say that to me and I'm going to think, have I been round radium in the last 30 days?
And just feel twitchy. Yeah. Like,
I painted a clock recently? Come on, mate.
I'm really sorry to just ruin it even more, especially smile compliments, because some of them painted it on their teeth.
No, they didn't.
So that their teeth would glow when they smiled.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I don't want to seem really, really not empathetic here, but if you're putting radium on your teeth because you would like glow in the dark teeth, I think
some of that's on you.
Perhaps your time to go anyway.
Do you think they just wanted them white? Because I imagine they would be whiter, would they? Or is it literally the glow in the dark?
But it's that ultraviolet paint now that glows, and then you put it on or you've got whatever on your clothes and then the club lights change and then those things glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine it was like the 1920s version of that, but with terrible. So it must have felt
exciting. These are the first ravers. I kind of get it.
But it will still look ridiculous. Like, is anybody else just immediately thinking of Ross in Friends? You know, when he turns around and he's just like...
Oh, absolutely.
Look, check the chat. Somebody has already said, like, Ross in Friends. this is the roaring 20s. You don't need to be dressing up anymore. You don't need to be rocking up to a Gatsby party with glow-in-the-dark teeth.
Yeah, there's overkill. I mean, that's a wrong phrase as well. But
did that happen by accident the first time? Because I sort of remember this relating to another case that we did, because they would put the brushes in their mouth.
I'm getting to that in a sec, but yes, go on.
So I'm just wondering if that was how it started, because they're like, check out my teeth. Like, when I was that age, I would have put any fucking thing on me that glowed. I really would have.
These are teenage girls that are suddenly rich.
Yeah. Well, we know how Taylor treats her mouth already. She keeps going back for more and more of this abusive lip balm. She'd have been straight in there with the radium.
She was like, but this is good for me, right?
Yeah.
If that shit glowed, I'd be using it 10 times a day instead of 5.
Did anyone have, like, when they were a kid, I had those, like, glow-in-the-dark stars you put on your ceiling?
Oh, yes.
Yes, and now I'm wondering if that's going to shorten my life.
No, so don't worry. We're going to get to the end of this case. There's been lawsuits. They're not allowed. Anyway,
but the thing is, because it concerns women, part of me is thinking maybe they've never done anything about it.
Do you know what? Hannah George, hold that fucking thought.
Oh, no.
Okay, so now we're going to get to... There were factory protocols, of course there were. All the radium girls diligently followed the technique they'd been taught for the painstaking handiwork of painting the tiny dials. Taylor has touched on this. Question, what was the technique?
Taylor's literally said
what it was.
Brushing your teeth.
Licking the brushes.
Oh, licking the brushes.
So
the people teaching
the girls how to do it.
I just thought when you said brush your toothbrush.
Oh, no, sorry.
Take a little bit of radium home, put it in your toothpaste, brush her.
So they specifically instructed them to do this.
They were like, this is the technique. Get it into a point in your mouth, because that's the way to get it to a tiny point. So every time they did this in between their lips, they were obviously ingesting a tiny bit of radium swallowing it from the green paint.
Oh, no.
This technique exposed them to a huge amount of radium. But it was the easiest way to get a fine point on the brush. So, you know, what can you do? Some of these numbers that they were painting were as small as a single millimetre in width. So that's...
Whoa.
Justifies everything. Now, contrary...
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. These are small watches, guys. Have you ever made a small watch?
Could you do this? Contrary to what almost every film ever made would have you believe, teenage girls are not stupid. And the first thing that every new worker asked when she joined was if the paint was harmful. Question, what answer were they given?
Oh, let's have a deep think about this. Was it? No, it's absolutely fine. Knock yourselves out, girls.
Ding, ding, ding. It It's safe. It's absolutely safe.
And the managers were they basing it on? What were they basing? You know, when people are just like, it's a bit like, yeah. I remember my friend telling me about the fact that, like, what was it? He had sex with a girl and he was like, should we use protection? She was like, oh, I've got the implant. And he was like, great. And then they did it. And then he like woke up the next day and Googled implant. Like he had no idea what that was, whether it was real. He did it immediately, which always made me laugh. But it's that thing of like, did they just go, it's fine, and then do the research later?
I mean, do you know, that actually probably explains the psychology of this, because it's like, I really want to do this thing. Yeah, they said it was fine. That's enough for me. I'll Google it later.
You're already wanting them to say, yes, it's fine. Yeah, so when they do, they've just given you the go-ahead.
It's
to...
like, what's it called? Thingy me bias. What's it called? Confirmation bias. Yeah. Like, I want this to be safe because it's loads of money. I'm going to ask the question. Said it was safe. That's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of all the people you don't want to believe are crooks, it's like, we make watches here. Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to be like, they're the watch people.
Yeah. Why would they be terrible? Yeah.
Why are they the terrible ones? Yeah. Sally, who's making the daggers down the other factory, like, that's a shithole, but they make watches.
Those guys are nefarious. We're just so above board with our radium.
You should have taken the dagger in your mouth. Yeah.
Ladies, do that just so we can see it.
Now, the manager said it was safe. It's very important to have balance, you guys. So just for balance, I want to tell you, this was not safe. It's really important to have both sides, you guys.
Yeah, thank God you're here.
I mean, right, if we're going to have to listen to Nazis, we have to listen to some facts.
Isn't the jury out on radium, though?
Yeah, some of it's fake news, right? Anyway, right. So ever since his discovery, radium had been known to cause harm. Spoiler, Marie Curie had suffered radiation burns from handling it. People had died of radium poisoning before the first dial painter ever picked up her brush. And just for contrast, the men at the radium companies wore lead aprons in their laboratories, and they handled the radium with ivory-tipped tongs. Yeah. Too much mouth stuff.
Wow.
Which, again, very great contrast. Also, it does link back to the Brexit thing because, like, Nigel Farage's kids have European passports, so...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was really bad. It's safe, is it? But then you've still got that, have you? Okay, interesting. The men are covered. The women are out there getting radium.
Actively encouraged to come dressed in their nightwear. Their gowns.
Get
and sticking a paintbrush in their teeth
as possible and spread
it. Oh, but don't mind
out.
Derek, he just likes wearing a lead apron. It's fine. Like, don't worry
He's
about
like,
it.
He's like such a nerd.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like, I always try and see the best, and I just thought, well, maybe they didn't know up until a certain point.
Right.
But now, you know, I'm like, maybe Boris didn't know it was his birthday party. Like, you know, maybe. But like, you know, with shit like that, you're just like, yeah, they obviously completely knew. And were using ivory, which is also bad.
Exactly. That's a whole other thing, which is despicable in a completely other way. Actually, to your point, Hannah, part of the reason for this difference in treatment was because supposedly a small amount of radium was meant to be beneficial to health. But actually, over time, this isn't a small amount of radium. But I think, and this might have come up in the case that we did a while ago, people drank radium water as a tonic. You could buy cosmetics, butter, milk, toothpaste, laced with this quote-unquote wonder element. And newspapers reported its use as adding years to your life.
Wow.
Question, who conducted the research that this belief was founded on?
Oh, no. Was it like Radium Incorporated?
Yes, it was Big Radium. Ding, 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 you Big Radium. All of my questions, I now realise, are actually quite leading rhetorical questions. I apologise. I'll try and have some mysteries.
Even with that, I was still about to say, Mr. Clockman. You know,
basically
famous
guy. Same answer. Yeah.
I'm just excited we landed on Big Radium. That's amazing.
Big Radium Energy.
Completely.
Just another payday for Big Radium.
It is. It absolutely is.
What a corporate sign they would have had, huh?
Oh, it would have been so bright. Now, the very same radium firms that built this lucrative industry, and they ignored all the danger signs on purpose. In the early 1920s, some of the radium girls started having symptoms like fatigue and toothaches. I'm going to whiz through some quite gruesome stuff now.
Oh, no.
The first death came in 1922. 22-year-old Molly Maguire's whole lower jaw had been eroded by the radiation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I read a really gruesome account of this, which I cannot unknow. I will try not to share too much of it because it is just fucking horrific. But her dentist starts pulling teeth. There's abscesses. Yeah. She's got painful limbs. It's hard to walk. He thinks it's rheumatism and he sends her home with aspirin. It's the jaw, it's just ridiculous. But other girls are getting sick too. They've got pain, limbs hurting. There's a girl called Grace Fryer. Now, she's going to be a big player in this. Now, Molly eventually dies. Ooh. Molly's the first death. This is a big trigger warning. The disease slowly ate its way through her jugular vein, so her mouth was flooded with blood as she hemorrhaged so fast that the nurse couldn't staunch it. So it was basically like someone had slit her throat.
Would that have just come on out of nowhere, like all of a sudden?
it's been eroding and
then one day just burst,
just it's too far. And the thing is, you once radium is in, it can't come back out, so there's literally no cure for this
poor girl.
So Molly dies. Doctors are flummoxed as to the cause of her death. Question: what do they put on her death certificate?
It's hysteria.
Great answer. I will give you a clue. It is offensive and it has a huge bearing on the rest of how this goes down.
Like mental illness, like that she did it into herself, self-inflicted or something.
Okay, again, great answer.
Like a hygienic disorder, like she didn't look after herself.
Taylor is the closest. Anyone else want to guess?
So they've made it seem like it's her fault.
Yes.
She had a dirty mouth.
Irresponsible at work. She wasn't safe at work.
Further away, Taylor is still the closest. I'm going to tell you guys, it is syphilis.
Oh. Sure, no way.
They put syphilis on the death certificate.
Oh my God, that's a leap.
Obscene.
Yes.
But it's good that like women are definitely listened to by all doctors now, so that's good.
Isn't it great that we're so past this and we have completely equal status in the world? So, one by one, this is happening to the other radium girls.
Just a really quick little anecdote.
I went to the doctor because I was having stomach issues when I was doing stand-up, which I now see is just clearly related to the stress of stand-up. But I was like, you know, celiac disease runs in my family. Like, I was just throwing out history. And he's like, oh, no, celiac happens to young, thin women.
Wow.
That is a shame.
Holy shit. I mean, my friend, her and her friend were driving. They were rear-ended by another car, completely not their fault, but they had to go to a hospital and get checked out for whiplash. Mm. The male doctor said, like, heard they'd had been in a car crash, blah, blah, and he goes to them, were you nattering?
Oh my God.
Isn't it amazing? It just reveals so much, such a small interaction.
Him in the room with the snake and the phone thing.
Yes! DCI catfish is on it. We got this. We can do
nattering. Oh my God.
Nattering. Were you nattering?
Wow.
Like somebody rear-ended you, but were you nattering?
Wow.
Drunk women solving crime.
It's time to do this week's shout outs. So what's the problem? Didn't you write down the names? Oh, I wrote down the names. It's just, I'm not sure how to pronounce all of them. I've watched all the pronunciation.com videos, but some of them are lying. They're lying!
How do you know?
Because they're all different. They're all different!
This summer, imagine a task so great it involves internet cross-checking, a listening ear, and some common sense. Starring, oh boy, here we go, Diane Mayer, or Diane Meyer, Deirdre Nick Owen, or Deirdre Neek Yowen, Zoe Ellen, think I got that one right, and featuring music by Disambiguous. Pronunciation, a thriller for people who worry about getting things wrong.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I might have said it wrong.
Hey guys, have you ever thought about joining the force and getting your very own shout out just like that? Well, you can check us out and check out the special benefits that we offer to our members at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate your support and it's genuinely what keeps us going. Thanks for listening.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So it's great that we've come so far.
Yeah, right. Point made.
But okay, so
did you get diagnosed her with syphilis from that car crash?
Yeah, yeah. was it your fault? One by one, this is happening to the other radium girls. That radium's destroying the bone and literally drilling holes in women's jaws, but while they're still alive. Now, the company is obviously not sorry. They're trying to not pay any attention to this at all. We, in fact, have ourselves a good old-fashioned cover-up. Big Radium, which we all laughed about, is actually USRC, United States Radium Corporation. It is taking no responsibility for the deaths, but they do some PR. And now, because there's a downturn in business because of what they are calling gossip, because, you know, it's dying women nattering to their mates.
It's classic nattering. It's just people nattering.
They're just nattering.
Fucking hell.
They're all nattering. It's so unfair on this big business.
Gossip. That's fucking crazy.
Isn't it? But it's affecting their business. So they hire an expert to look into any links between dial painting and death. Now, this study, unlike all the other studies, is in fact independent of them. So question, does this independent expert confirm a link between radium and the women's illnesses?
Are they independent? Or
they are genuinely independent.
Genuinely independent.
Yes.
Well, then I hope so, because we already knew, like you said, Mercury's already died.
Yes.
The dudes are wearing lead. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I hope so.
So yes, hope so from Taylor.
Yeah.
You
guys? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so this, yeah.
Great
yes.
answer. Hope so from Taylor.
I
should go on question time.
I mean, the right thing to do would have been that, but I'm not confident they did it.
We're recording this in a time where we've recently had somebody supposedly independently investigate something and then was found out to be having the parties that he was investigating.
I mean, yeah, there is very little trust at the current time in the UK. This is absolutely true.
So let's put good will and good hope out there and say, yes, it was.
Okay. Yes. From DCI Catfish, Hannah George.
I mean, I feel like they have to, in the sense that obviously we know about this, but does it come too soon that it happens that people have listened? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they don't find a link because maybe they don't do it for long enough, because obviously it takes a little bit of time.
Okay.
And they maybe do it really quickly.
Who does the investigation again, Katie?
So it's this, I've got his name somewhere, but it's an independent guy. Now, all of your instincts were correct. The cautious optimism, correct. Hannah George's cynicism, correct. Because what happens is, yes, this guy finds a link. The independent guy finds a link between the radium and the women's illnesses. So, brilliant. There's a link.
Okay.
Science, independent link. Right, here we go. But that is not acceptable to the president of the firm. He can't accept that. So, he doesn't listen to it. And he pays for new studies that conclude the opposite. And he lies to the Department of Labour.
Oh,
my God. This is the original Sue Gray.
So, oh, like, you gosh. Guys are all correct. Cautious optimism, correct.
Not gonna USSG.
Not going to work, correct.
Do you know, this is really reminding me of, I don't know if anyone's been watching Dope Sick, but yeah. it's about the opioid crisis. Yeah, and it's really reminding me of mm-hmm. Purdue pharmaceuticals.
It's very similar. Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, it's like Dope Sick meets Erin Brockovich meets meets Sue Gray.
That is an elevator pitch I want to be hearing.
I tell you what, I will watch that show. He pays for new studies that conclude the opposite. He lies. He also, and this is horrible, as if it's not horrible enough, he publicly denounced the women as trying to palm off, in quotes, their illnesses on the firm to pay their mounting medical bills. Because obviously they're super ill. They can't move. There's no NHS.
But they're definitely just cashing in.
They're just absolutely trying to cash in, right, with all their syphilis.
Was the factory even paying for the medical bills, though? No, I mean, I guess they would have been insured through it, I guess. Yeah, I suppose it worked the same as it does now.
Yeah, so he's implying that they don't deserve it because they're saying it's the factory's fault, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to wiggle out of all these huge medical bills.
Send him to the snake room.
Snake room. Seriously, that is definitely the answer.
Starting to get crowded in there.
I really think we've stumbled onto the solution for all of the world's problems.
Yeah. Snake room.
My favorite part of the snake room is, although I'm picturing a real snake, it's doing perfect corners because it's still snake. Yeah, it's perfect.
It's a snake that respects the rules of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time it eats somebody, the room vibrates.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
This is going to work.
The live snake tryouts would be great. Sorry, that wasn't quite a right angle. We really need to stick with the game. Your only hope
of staying alive in the snake room is if the snake goes into a wall or its own tail.
Yes. Now, these women are dealing with a lot. This legal battle is a ridiculously huge challenge, and also all the death certificates say syphilis. So that's a huge barrier to trying to do anything. Also, existing laws made it difficult for women to force a company to act. Because when it comes to insurance, radium poisoning was not on the list of diseases companies mm-hmm. were liable for. And also there was a 2-year statute of limitations prevented workers from suing for a condition that often didn't present immediately. But something eventually happens that slightly tips the scales a fraction towards their cause. Question, what changes?
And it's going to come back to our rights, isn't it? There's a union, maybe. A union forms.
Great guess.
Does somebody who is rich and influential, a rich influential woman, perhaps die of it? Somebody that they sort of give greater sort of standing to than factory workers?
You are very close with that.
Oh.
Tell us. I thought somebody with power started advocating for them. So yeah. A philanthropist who actually has some... Oh, because you think these women have no power and they're trying to fight a legal battle, so does someone...
Yeah.
Do they all get on the Titanic and just... It's the other way. It's the fucking other way, isn't it? It's coming to America. Sorry. It's just about the same time, about 1912.
Right. Well done for mentioning the Titanic.
Thank you.
I am going to tell you the answer now. A man gets sick.
Oh, no. No.
When I said more important...
No, I'm not actually 100%. I think he might have worked in a slightly different section to them.
Okay.
But he gets sick with radium poisoning.
In the man clock section with chunky hands.
So
with the sausage fingers. It couldn't possibly be syphilis with him.
It's not syphilis because let's trust him.
Yeah, of course.
Only women get that.
Honestly, like you guys were right. Somebody that counts. A man gets sick. And we didn't think this case could get any more depressing. And yet here we are. Now... The first male employee of the radium firm died, so now experts finally took up the charge. In 1925, there's this great doctor, Harrison Martland. He devised tests that proved once and for all that radium had poisoned the women. And this doctor is great, and he changes everything. And he talks about how internally ingested, it's much worse because you can't ever get it out again. It's fatal. Now, Grace Fryer, who I mentioned earlier, in 1925, she's a worker from the New Jersey plant, and she decided to take the US Radium Corp to court. And it took her 2 years to find a lawyer that would take her case because looks so fucking hopeless.
Because she took a while to be able to say, they're called boobs, Ed.
sorry.
And mine glow in the dark.
Just go back, Kate. Was she sick?
Yes.
So 2 years to find a lawyer, that's two, not that 2 years are ever invaluable, but 2 years, like, time's fucking ticking.
Absolutely. Mm. She's already on a clock, and that will also be a factor in what happens next.
Oh my God,
too.
I need more gin.
Oh my God, you do, we all do.
Ooh, but that does look fancy.
That is Isle of Wight gin. That's from the Isle of Wight.
Can we just remember it's charity gin? Charity gin.
Is it from the Isle of Wight? No,
it is indeed. It is indeed. They call me the Bono or Bob Geldof of comedy because I'm just a humanitarian. That's what you should have introduced me as, Katie. Actress, hussy, comedian, village bike, and humanitarian of the year.
Snake room owner.
That is a description for somebody I want at all my parties.
It's DCI catfish.
No, so absolutely, and you are on the money. She's on an absolute clock. She's got a certain amount of time left, and
that is a really bad pun to make, Katie. Get some respect, okay?
You're absolutely right.
She's on the clock. Really, she's dying because of the clock. Okay, take a look at yourself.
I apologise. I've never been good at puns. All these other lawyers said no. And then eventually in 1927, somebody says yes. So her and four other workers filed and they make headlines around the world. They were backed by the New Jersey Consumers League, who helped keep up the media pressure. So these girls are amazing. They're courageous and tenacious, and they cannot be saved at this point. They have a painful death sentence already.
Wow.
But they want to stop it happening to others.
God.
So it's totally altruistic, the motive of their because, you know, dial painters are still being recruited, they're still being employed across the United States, and they're still licking radium every day.
But are they drinking charity gin? Because you know,
that might
maybe
have
that
saved
would have helped.
Them.
You know,
yeah, it could have mitigated some of the.
But was all of this like in the news? So were people not? This will sound like I'm victim blaming. I'm not. But were people still encouraged and being encouraged, like willfully going to paint the dials of these clocks whilst this was gaining momentum?
This is it because this is why the company are running interference and running PR, because their sales are down.
Yeah,
I imagine it is definitely affecting recruitment, but there are people that need money and they are still paying. So they're like, oh, don't listen to that. That's fake news.
Yeah.
Those bitches have syphilis, you know. Fuck.
I was going to say, the syphilis thing is like almost the most important detail of this entire case, because they knew you could just write them off.
Make a statement without saying a word. Like,
it's just, it's so horrible. Frustrating that people were still... Yeah. Still being coaxed into applying for these jobs while somebody is on the brink of
absolutely
shitbags.
Them fighting for it is so believable, though. Just because this is such an interesting time, and it was like one of the only things I paid attention to in university in like women's studies class, is just this time in U.S. history when women like were in the workforce, and it's the first time that they discovered leisure that was just for themselves. So groups of women would go to Coney Island or Brighton Beach, you know, and just have a great time for the first time in their lives. Like it was ironically such a time of freedom, and there were just such strong friendships forming in a way that female friendships hadn't before, because it surrounded the workplace and leisure time. So you can picture how close these women would have been, you know?
Yeah.
They're going out glow discoing together, and they're going to fight for each other.
Yeah.
Has anyone made, I know we do this every time, has there been a movie or a series about the Radium Girls?
I'm not sure. I read, so the way I like, the way I first this heard about this was like, these women are heroes. That's how like the finding this story was sold to me, and then I was like, oh, I want to find out more about that, and then I was like, oh, that could be a case, a dark case, but a case nevertheless, because their battle is so courageous and altruistic, and they're literally trying to save people. I mean, I'm not sure actually if there definitely is anything, because whatever that would look like is going to be bleak as fuck, but also an amazing story. So I don't know.
Erin Brockovich won Oscars. People need to get on this.
Yeah, right. This is what needs to happen. A quote from Grace Fryer as saying, "It's not for myself I care. I'm thinking more of the hundreds of girls to whom this may serve as an example." Wow. So she gets this lawyer, Raymond Berry, and she's now in the middle of an internationally famous courtroom drama. But the company are trying to drag out legal proceedings for a reason that DCI Catfish has touched on. They know there's a time limit on how long she can keep this going for because she is literally dying. So they know if they can drag out court proceedings, this whole problem goes away for now.
They're literally going to drag out the court proceedings by her life expectancy, which presumably only they really know.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And that's when she needs to get a glass of water and be like, that water's got fresh radium in it. We brought in from big radium.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That scene needs to be in the film of this. So literally, they're dragging it out. She's only got 4 months to live, they've said now at this point. So basically what happens is they settle out of court in 1928. But the publicity has made an impact. And I'd love to say that that was the end of it. And the radium company stopped recommending lip pointing technique and they got protective gear and everyone learned their lesson. But no, it took till the 1930s. And another woman called Catherine Donahue, who took the Illinois branch to court from her deathbed, advocating for a policy change, like literally from her deathbed against the advice of her doctor. And there's a photo of this, which I saw online. There's like a bed in a courtroom.
Oh my God.
It's bonkers. So eventually survivors were given compensation and doctors were directed to start listing the correct cause of death on death certificates. So what a huge breakthrough. And then the Supreme Court rejected the final appeal in 1939. And the case became a key milestone for the history of workers' rights. But the Radium Girls case was one of the first in which an employer was made responsible for the health of the company's employees, and it led to life-saving regulations and ultimately to the establishment of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which now operates nationally in the United States, to protect workers. We've got to raise a glass to the brave Radium Girls.
Yes. The Radium Girls.
Drunk women solving crime.
We have got a listener crime from one of the live chat patrons watching us live. Now, this is from Sarah in chat. On chat, in chat, on chat.
Sarah in chat. I've been to chat. It's very nice this time of year.
Beautiful. Now, she
Hard
says...
Hard to get a hotel.
It's the 51st state of the USA.
Yay. She says, "I'm a teacher and have been lucky to get lots of lovely thank you presents at the end of each year. I promise we don't expect them, but they are appreciated. I totally get that. I love the teachers that are teaching my children too. A few years ago, a very generous parent gave me a Radley handbag. I had opened my presents in the classroom at the children's insistence, so they all saw this beautiful handbag and, crucially, the little Radley dog accessories. I'm really good at reading after wine. And it's too
I was imagining like a sensory dog I in bet. This handbag. And I was like, oh, my
it's also because it's an email. I bet there's a way I could make this bigger, but I can't work it out now. I'll just really squint and lean forward.
It's
like,
fine.
Like
I need to Google Radley because I
millennium
don't know
that
I
am.
Radley.
Okay.
Does everybody know Radley?
Yeah.
They do plush like, leather handbags.
It's a nice
a little
yeah.
dog.
Okay.
On them.
Wow.
Okay. So now they come. Yeah, they come with. It's not sensory. It's an accessory. Is the word that I was supposed to say.
A sensory dog would be so much better, though. If you opened your really expensive handbag and there was just a little cut-out leather dog that both woofed and you could stroke and lit up.
I mean, whose day is not made better by that? Now, so this little accessory. It's like, that came attached. Needless to say, they were all instantly enamored with it, and we had a class vote to name the dog. Teddy was the resounding winner. We carried on with the typical day, last day of term fun and games before the parents came to collect them. At this stage, I should probably point out that these children were 4 and 5 years old, so they were never not supervised either by school staff or their parents. I said goodbye to the children and safely handed them off to their parents. I then went to the staff room for about 30 minutes for a celebratory cup of tea with my colleagues, leaving the presents, fancy handbag included, safely, or so I thought, in my desk. You can probably guess what's coming next. I returned to my classroom after
you
that half an hour.
You shagged the janitor. Yeah, you did. No?
She's here, Taylor. She's here.
I mean, what a twist. After half an hour, and I soon spotted that Teddy was gone. The handbag remained, but the little dog accessory had been removed. The mystery is who took it. One of the children is the obvious suspect, but they'd all left with their parents. Did one of them sneak off unseen? Did a parent cooperate in this heist? Is my suspicion of the children unfair, and was it in fact another member of staff, perhaps jealous because they don't get such a fancy present? I would love your help with this case. Now, I already have an answer for this.
Yeah. Do you?
Well, my son, who is 4, is a massive fucking liar. And, and sometimes he'll come home with stuff in his pockets. And it shouldn't be in his pockets. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, I accidentally put this in my pocket. Or, oh, yeah, someone gave this to me. Or, oh, it was an accident. Is that still in my pocket? Ha, 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 I really like it.
Very much the Boris Johnson, I was ambushed with a cake. Vibes there.
Absolutely. So, like, I think there might have been, like, a dim-witted parent who was sleep-deprived, like this guy. Who, like, they're just, like, frazzled.
For the listeners, Katie pointed to herself.
I pointed to myself. You know when you're like, they're like, they won't carry their bag, so you got to carry their fucking bag. And then they're like, I don't want to wear their coat, so you're carrying their fucking coat.
Oh,
and
you've got to, like, pack
stop running over there. Leave that alone. Come over here. We have to pick up your sister. And then they're like, oh, I got this dog. It's definitely mine. You're like, great, put that in the bag. Let's go.
Oh, my,
like,
God.
I think you're so right.
It's not necessarily a teacher that's like, yeah, we'll have that. It might, a teacher. It's not necessarily a parent that's like, yeah, we'll have that. That's yours now. It might be a parent that's just like so fucking tired and frazzled that they cannot tune in.
I thought
it
was going to be the whole bag. Yeah, I'm with you.
Maybe. That's my take.
If it was the whole bag, I thought it was going to be like, jealous Julie, who's not as good of a teacher and only got some discount chocolate.
Because actually, I bet there is jealousy because it does sound like the kids love this lady. And the parents love her.
Can I just say, Katie, you describing all of that has been the most effective contraceptive I've ever used. Sometimes you think, oh, is it something I'm ready to think about? And then you hear a parent like whistle off something like that and you go, I can wait, I can wait. I would like to offer up the option of it being a fellow staff member.
Okay.
Ooh.
Because I think of some of the stuff I used to bring in for my teacher to say thank you. And upon reflection, it was dog shit. Dog shit. I'd bring in like a banana being like, thank you, Miss Matthews. Like, she doesn't need a banana. You can get a bunch for 59p. She doesn't need a banana. She's on a salary. Come on. Get her a box of wine. A box of wine.
They want wine and they want chocolates. Don't fuck about.
I think if I was the Miss Matthews in this and I had some little prick Maisie buying me a banana to say thank you for all your hard work, and then I went next door and saw somebody with a Radley bag, I think the devil would take over and I'd just think, and I would think, she will think, oh, it's kids. They don't really clock what they're putting in their bag, or she'll think it's an absent parent.
Oh my God. Do you know what this, now what you're making me think, you know, like when like people are, there's a fancy car, like a Mercedes, and it's got like a thing on the front of it.
Oh,
and whenever there's a, in film, someone's annoyed and they break the thing off the front of the car. It's like that, but for handbags. So this other member of staff is like, oh, that's nice. Be a shame if anything happened to that. And then they take
it. Oh, my God. That's very, very fatal attraction.
Yeah.
Or is it going to turn up in her bed like the horse's head?
Reappears.
I love the idea of her returning back from the term holidays to the theme tune of The Godfather. Her coat draped over her shoulders.
I see. I had to Google that as well because I wasn't sure exactly what. So it's I was like you, Taylor. I thought it was going to be the whole handbag. So it's kind of the fact it's a toy. I'm gonna. It's either the janitor she fucks or it's the which is now fact. Sorry, Sarah, but I feel like. I feel like it was one of the kids.
I like the idea of a spiteful grown-up that just takes the little trinket. It's very funny to me. Like knowing full well how much the bag is worth, but just like yoink.
Yeah.
Yeah, this little learner.
I mean, that's the bit that makes it a Radley bag is yeah. the dog, the little leather dog.
Right. Yeah, that's
so you
the
take
noticeable.
The leather dog away, all you've got is a satchel. You know, that's no better than
yeah. That's like the G of Gucci or
this
whatever.
This poor teacher's now walking around with the bag, going, "It's a Radley," and everyone's going, "Oh, sure, sure,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
okay.
Weird dog, yeah."
Oh dear.
Oh, that makes
but
me
then
think
what's
it was
worse
an adult.
Is that there's another person going around just with the dog of a Radley bag.
Oh my god, do you think they attached it to their normal bag that they got from Primark and they're
yeah,
like
yeah, or just walking around waving just the little dog. Got myself a Radley.
Didn't actually need to bring a bag out today, but
I just want you to know I have the money.
Yeah,
for...
I'm a woman of means.
Well, I hope that helped, Sarah.
Yeah, we slightly narrowed it down. I think it was a kid and a dim-witted parent not spotting that their child was thieving. But I also do hear the rattled co-worker too.
DCI catfish. I mean, her maths worked before, so Sarah, who you
she's
go
got the
with?
Formulas for solving crimes.
Who do you
crimes?
Want on your case?
I mean, one of us has had sleep and is way more trustworthy.
But one of us is currently 50% gin.
Oh, man. Wow. It just remains for us to say, Maisie Adam, what are you up to? Where can we find you? what do you want to plug?
Well, after this episode, when I recover from the inevitable hangover, I'm going on tour with my show. It's called Buzzed, and nice. I'm going, I'd like to think everywhere. I think I'm going most places.
Cool.
I announce my tour, and then there's inevitably a few people go, oh, why aren't you coming to my village? Because it's a village.
Yeah. Like, I've got to go to places where there's people. That's how
Thank
this works.
Thank you. I don't want to play your memorial hall. Oh, God. I'm going to wake up, listen to this back, and be like, you sound like such a bitch.
No.
But I'm coming to chat. Somebody's asked if I'm touring chat. I'll try and get chat.
Also,
on
I love
the
fact that the bit that you're like, oh, it's gone too far. I've dug into memorial halls there. Like,
they are a staple of the comedy circuit.
Yeah.
Somebody's. I'm a little bit worried that I just made fun of memorial halls.
We live in crazy times. The politicians are lying about everything. We're like, oh my god, did I just slag off memorial halls?
That's it. But I'll get
cancelled.
I'll get done for saying something risque on a podcast that was essentially about women's rights.
Yeah, right. That's the real crime. Yeah,
I know. But yeah, I'm on tour and going to most places. It's in the autumn of this year.
Awesome.
So the hangover should have worn off by then. We hope.
Oh, well, that sounds awesome. And can we find you? What's the best you do? Like, what's your favourite social media? Where can we follow you?
Oh, I'm at Maisie Adam on all of the social media.
What, your BBM?
Including my BBM.
Yeah, BBM.
You can get tickets if you BBM me directly. That's what I'm still working off. Habbo Hotel, that's still a thing for me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Oh,
just
thank you.
Give
thank
it up. Thank
this
you so much for
fun.
The amazing Maisie Adam.
Thank you, Maisie.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.